I'm Alan Walker, and in this episode, my co-host extraordinaire Jeremy Russon chatted to Sam Smith of Kelly OCG. They talked about what OCG actually stands for, the challenges and excitement of life sciences recruitment during COVID-19, personal struggles at this time, and, of course, hello fights. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
It's looking good, Sam.
It is, I know.
Start popping. Hey.
This is the third time lucky.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Let's not get too cocky and let's hope it doesn't pick up a virus halfway through. But just very quickly to welcome everyone to the Chat Talent People podcast. As you probably guessed there, the fourth most listened to business podcast in Mozambique, as we found out this week, is now officially live with the brilliant Sam Smith from Kelly OCG. Sam, welcome at long last to what we think is a proper recording of the podcast.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, and even more delighted to learn this is my maiden voyage into broadcasting into Mozambique. So
yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we saw a lot of the bigger, better known podcasts. Not they're better known at the moment, but mainly because they put marketing budget into it. Who were shouting about being the 75th best podcast, most listened to podcast in the States, and in the UK and things like this. And we did a little bit of research, and the fourth most listened to podcast of any type, not even just careers or HR, any type. In Mozambique, the world is next.
The world is your oyster, and I'm just so pleased to be that tiny little grain of sand bedded in the shell. Congratulations!
Brilliant.
It's a great thrill to be here.
brilliant. Now that sounded, when I introduced you, like I didn't give you a full job title, which I think is VP of Global Solutions for Life Sciences and a Healthcare Practice at Kelly OCG. Does that sound about right?
It does. It's a front and back card job title. I often, as one of my old bosses used to say, just say, look, the word janitor kind of wraps it up, right? So I don't go big on job titles, but getting some good stuff done. But yeah, that's right.
Good. So just tell us a little bit about Kelly OCG and your role, because I think it's going to be very interesting and will have been very interesting over the last few weeks, particularly what you've been involved in. But we'll go into that in a sec. But yeah, just tell us a little bit about the company.
Yeah. So look, Kelly as an organization is a talent company. Kelly OCG, the O Outsourcing Consulting Group, is our talent solutions segment.
I always wonder what that meant, actually.
Yeah, the mystery is solved in 2 minutes 59 seconds, which
that's
is pretty
going.
Good.
Yeah.
And we deliver outsourced talent-based solutions throughout the world. We operate across a vast landscape, currently just over $9 billion of spend under management. That means customers globally trust us to handle their money and distribute it to delivering suppliers. We manage demand through technology platforms, and we do that for both contingent labor, permanent recruitment outsourcing through functional service provider, which is a more technical element, particularly aligned to our life science and healthcare practice, business process outsourcing, and some of those other strings to our bow along the way.
Yeah. Okay. And it's, I guess it's, it's been an interesting few weeks for the world generally, and it's amazing to think that it, relative terms, it's actually quite a short period of time. But particularly for your client group, and tell us a little bit about what you've seen going on in that client group over the last few weeks.
It's a really mixed bag. But what I generally say is pharma organisations particularly have responded incredibly well. We have seen a huge shift to remote working and a really mindful approach to contingent workers, which has pleased me hugely.
Yeah.
You know, I often get on my now famous soapbox when we use the word temp. It really frustrates me because it has such a negative connotation in society. And our customers, particularly, as I say, in that pharma and med device space, have had an incredibly mindful and thoughtful process in how they handle COVID-19 and how they consider the value of a contingent workforce and how they consider paying people through a really difficult time. And I'm incredibly proud to be on that side of it with some, you know, FTSE 100 pharma and med device firms particularly who've done the right thing and enabled us as an organization to do the right thing, which is sensational.
And I guess that's, I mean, I've a little bit of experience of working in my early career in pharma. And it always struck me back then, having had retail on one side and financial services on the other, just how strong the values were with these businesses, and that's presumably still the same.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's no surprise when the core values of most of these organizations center around patient outcomes. You know, I think there is a sense of purpose associated to people that you don't see across other sectors. And it's really shone through. There have been some areas, if you look at production lines, that have been impacted. There have been some areas, if you look at hip replacements, knee replacements, non-elective surgeries, those types of areas that have suffered. So there has been a decline. But I would say overall, the attitude, approach, and business continuity methodology that's been employed by most of the organizations within my portfolio has been heartwarming and a sense of human solidarity that I think is much, much needed during a time like this.
I guess the other challenge they've had to face is this desire to find the vaccine, to find testing and things like this. And I'm guessing that some of the clients have become involved in that really very concertinaed process, because it's often a 15, 20-year process bringing a drug to market. How are they adapting to that?
Yeah, it's been compressed for sure. I like the concertina vision. The R&D organizations of, you know, numbers of our customers, and, you know, we're very excited to know that talent through our supply chains is today in some of those customers. One in particular, you know, last week was in the Oval Office with President Trump getting approval for
Bath and Bleach, no doubt.
Well, I'll make no comment on the Prime President of the United States of America that could impede my progress.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Sorry to interrupt you, but I thought, had to be said.
Often you'll find me being politically correct, but on some occasions, politics and money, what is it? Politics, money and religion. Let's not go there.
Absolutely not. So,
your point is right. It's compressed. There has been an acceleration through R&D. And I think this unified sense of purpose, where organizations have joined together, they're sharing. If and when a solution is found, therapy information will be shared across organizations so that global distribution can happen extraordinarily fast. And I think it's probably a first, you know, where you see competing organizations coming together to do this. And again, for me, being, you know, not on the inside, but, you know, certainly on the close periphery of seeing how this works, and being in a close proximity for customers that have been having to make really challenging decisions, but protecting those R&D organizations through change so that they can continue getting their heads down and looking for answers and finding a solution. It's been phenomenal, eye-opening, and quite an experience, actually.
Yeah. And has it impacted the type of people you're having to find for these organizations, either in the short term or potentially longer term?
I'd definitely say the R&D side, we've seen an uptick in that side, lower demand in the kind of light industrial production areas at the moment. But of course, if a solution is found, we expect that to skyrocket. Yeah, but yes, absolutely. I think a natural increase in demand in the R&D side, particularly. Mm.
Yeah, and that that piece around the collaboration of some major competitors in many ways. I mean, the industry has a lot of JVs around it, but do you see that model becoming bigger and that collaboration model coming bigger?
I'd like to say yes, but I do think there are some natural behaviours. We'll see some inertia. I think we'll see people go back to their respective swim lanes and their brands. Mm. I think it's almost, a department store Christmas advert, right? There's a truce, the ball's out, everyone's playing together with a common goal of getting through a period of time, whether that be a Christmas Day football match truce or whether that be a global pandemic that's killing tens of thousands of people. I think there is a sense of we are in this together to find a solution and work together to deliver something for the world. But it wouldn't surprise me if people then revert back into their own buildings. There are some natural JVs already out there, and I think we'll see more, but I think we could be seeing more between bioscience, technology and engineering versus pharma and pharma.
Last few weeks then, Sam, from a personal perspective, what have been your biggest challenges in terms of the lockdown and things?
Oh, gosh. Look, I found it incredibly challenging. I'm an extrovert. I thrive on being with people, with customers out and about. I enjoy my buzz about and, being a bit of a hustler out there, rushing from one thing to the next. I've really struggled. It's been good connecting and reconnecting with home. But of course, I now no longer have excuses as to why I'm not doing the laundry or, particular domestic chores that I've become so used to not doing because I'm not here. But I found it very, very difficult. We've now found a routine. I think the natural course of accepting change is 21 days, so I'm there. But first couple of weeks, I found it incredibly challenging.
Yeah. And I threw something into our last, our second failed attempt to record this when I said something about, we're all in this together. And you said something really interesting, which was along the lines of we're all in the same storm, but in different boats. Mm-hmm. Just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. I fell into this. I don't want to call it a trap because I know that this is coming from a good place. Hashtag all in it together. But I think our experiences are all very, very different depending on many environmental factors. So your experience as a middle-class white guy in a 7-bedroom, 5-bath house with a 400-acre space of land around you is going to be an incredibly different experience to a first-time buyer living in a 1-bedroom flat somewhere, or very different to a family who have gone from a 2-income family to a furloughed individual, their children are at home, and so on and so on. And I know you're homeschooling your kids, and I love your updates, but it means our experiences are all very, very different.
Yeah.
I think people's financial stresses are very different. People, yeah. how they're using their homes are very different. And how they are having to cope with being in the same space and doing things that are really alien. For example, food shopping bills in an average 2.4 household or 2.2 household, whatever the average is today, are going to be extraordinary because people are eating three meals at home a day and they're not used to doing that. And people, I think, are struggling with so many different variations of this whole scenario, this whole situation, whether it be being isolated, whether it be the entirely opposite of that. You know, what I wouldn't give to be on my own for just a bit of time.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. I think it is impacting people in many, many different ways. And I urge us to consider very carefully this notion that this has been a great leveler and we're all in it together, because I think it has shown a huge variation of divides, whether you call them class, whether you call them poverty, whether you call them economic in any way. And I think we should be considerate of that.
Yeah. No, completely, completely. It's interesting because I spoke to my accountant this morning, who's a fiance lives where they were brought up, and he's now living in Bath in a flat by himself. And he said, I actually have to now. He said, I come into the office every day. He said, I'm the only person in the office because actually I realised that by working at home, my laptop wasn't going down until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
he said it was actually impacting his mental health in that respect. So although he's financially, you know, he's not been furloughed or anything, financially he's fine. Very, very different type of challenge for him to cope with. But he had the ability to cope with it. But you're right, there are lots and lots of people who don't have that ability because of the environment they're in, and we should be mindful of that fact.
Yeah, there's no relief. You know, I've got a young lady that worked with me. You know, she's at home with both of her parents, adult brother, the fiance of the adult brother. And that caring process, whether you may have been an adult carer, but you have relief because you go to work, I think it adds another level of stress. So I think the mental health ramifications of this will be far-reaching and quite misunderstood for some time. And I think we've all got to kind of take a step back and look at it in a different way as employers, managers, leaders, employees, teammates.
Yep.
We've all got to start thinking about each other in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And in terms of the remote office conversations that are going on, do you think this is forming the platform for more companies to have remote working?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're really lucky at Kelly. We adopted Kelly Anywhere and a very flexible approach to working a long time ago. That said, I think if you look at traditional recruitment firms, many have still had this kind of bricks and mortar approach. But I think this is going to force people to think differently. I think commercial property is going to really have to take a step back and look at how they operate. Mm-hmm. You know, many people know I moved my guys into a flexible space, a smaller number of desks where we flex in and out so people get that blend of interaction, ideation, fun. And breaking the isolation of working from home all the time.
Yeah.
I think we're definitely going to see more of that. I encourage that. I think it may be a little difficult for some of the very traditional staffing firms. You know, I know that Kelly Services and Rich Bradley on the staffing side of things are looking really carefully at, you know, what does the future of our business model look like and how can we learn some really valuable lessons from this horrid period of time, that take us forward and give us more flexibility and give our employees an opportunity to work how they want to, whilst maintaining the performance and customer experience for candidates and end user customers along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, and it's great to hear. And maybe we should have a little bit more of a dive into another date into the model that Kelly have, because it does sound really interesting. I guess for me, one last question. It's a really nice segue because you've just mentioned Richard Bradley there, who is one of the loveliest guys in recruitment. I think we generally agree.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know how you're managing to continue the pillow fights during lockdown.
Richard and I we both speak so much hot air. We package it up and we send it through the ether to give each other a good wallop. We use Twitter, text, any and every medium we can to keep the banter going. He is a great guy. He's a brilliant colleague, and he has been a great help in ensuring that we don't fall into the trap, as many firms do, where they have a solutions part of their business and the staffing part of their business. They tend to often find themselves at loggerheads. And I'm really pleased to say that because of the way Rich goes about his business and perhaps the way I go about mine, we found a way to prevent that from happening. He's a great guy.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And there'll be lots of people listening to the podcast now going off and searching Google to find Sam Smith versus Richard Bradley pillow fight. It's worth seeing. Definitely worth seeing.
You should do it after lockdown. I've been on my Peloton every day, so I think I'll have a bit more core strength to kick his butt next time.
Absolutely. Well, I think you did pretty well last time anyway, but you just don't know what Richard's core strength looks like at the moment, but that's another story as well, isn't it?
So,
that's it. Good for him. Good for him. Sam, it's great. I think we've got a full recording there. I think we've managed to keep it going all the way through. It has been absolutely brilliant talking to you. It's always fun. If nothing else, it's always fun. But I think today has also been really informative and shows the passion you have for both Kelly and your clients in your sector. It's really great to hear your understanding of their sector as well, not just from a recruitment perspective.
Thank
you so much for that. Listen, you keep very, very safe, and hopefully we will see you in London or somewhere in the not too distant future for a glass of wine or something.
No worries, and take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy!